Good morning. It's the Life Songs Morning Show, and joining us by phone is a legend, really. Laura Story. How are you, Laura?
Did you say a legend? Are you saying that I'm old, Josh?
No, oh my goodness. Do not back me into that corner. No. Legend in the sense that you are responsible for writing so much of what we sing in church every single Sunday.
It's a treat to get to talk to you today, and just thanks for taking time.
Absolutely. We're very excited about the new album, Open Hands. Kind of want to get an update on your family life. How are the kids?
Yes, they're great. So I have a 4.5-year-old little girl named Josie and 2.5-year-old twin boys, Benjamin and Griffin. And they are a handful. The three of them together, actually, they play really well together, which is, is really nice. But man, they are a mess. They definitely keep me on my feet and keep me on my knees.
Now, our midday host and program director, Libby, wanted me to ask, how old were your children before they were sleeping through the night? Because she just had a child a couple months ago. And then she mumbled something about being a failure and started to cry, but I didn't get into that. So I just thought I would just pass that along. How old were the twins before they were sleeping all night?
I think that me and this girl need to go have coffee, because I deal with that every day. So Josie actually started sleeping through the night. She was about a month old. Mm-hmm. And so I think part of it was that was our expectation going into stuff with the boys. But man, the boys, golly, they still have me up some nights. But for the most part, they started sleeping through the night maybe 2.5 months in. I don't think it's an age thing as much as I think it's a weight thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think they get to a certain weight and then they just have enough in their bellies to keep them from being hungry during the night. I'll tell you, the other thing that no young mom wants to hear is, the way I've found to get them to sleep through the night is to let them know that you're not going to go pick them up when they cry.
Yeah.
And that just, like, breaks your heart to hear them cry. But then the next night, they're like, oh, if no one's coming, I'll just go back to sleep.
Very, very true. I actually have a 3-year-old son named Benjamin as well, and he is a handful.
Oh,
so I understand the stress.
Absolutely.
Now, do you consider yourself very optimistic, or is the vein of optimism that rings through in all of your worship songs, is that more of a, this is where we need to move towards, but I'm not quite there yet? Or are you the person that just you naturally see everything as half full?
Well, man, the practicality of it, optimism, I mean, that's relative. I would call myself maybe a hopeful person,
uh-huh.
A person with perspective. Like, I could choose to dwell in what's not going well, or the stress, and I have definitely have days where I do that. What I find is that's a choice that I have. I don't necessarily have a choice about some of my circumstances, but I have a choice about where to let my mind rest. You know, you think about Philippians 4, it talks about, you know, whatever is honorable, whatever is good, let your mind dwell on these things. I feel like sometimes I will spend, you know, mental manpower dwelling on stuff that I cannot change. And so what the Lord's teaching me is, you know, setting my mind on things that I can change. You know, I can't change the things that happen to me. I can change how I respond to the things that happen to me. And I think that's what the Lord calls us to, is really controlling the things that we can control, and the things that are out of our control, trusting Him with those things.
Next book you write, you should call it Hoptimistic. I'm coining the term right now.
Oh, I like that. Do I have to pay you a royalty on that?
No,
use it?
if you mention me in the foreword, I'll be golden. I don't even need a dedication.
I'll dedicate the whole thing to you.
There we go.
Yeah, that's what I'll do.
That's awesome. Now, you and Mac Powell made a very pretty song. Tell me all about Open Hands.
Oh, well, thanks. Mac has been a friend for years, and we've gotten to tour together, and it was neat to get to have him on this song with me. But the song itself, you know, it's for anyone that ever struggles with trying to control their lives. I'm a little bit of a recovering control freak, even though recovery sounds like I've made more progress than I actually have. But we buy into this lie that the more control we can gain over, you know, our lives, the things in our lives, the people in our lives, our time, our money, you know, the more control we gain, the more peace we can find. But what God's Word actually tells us, it's when we get to the point of releasing control that's when we really gain our lives. You know, whoever wants to gain their life must lose it. And it's not just losing your life for the sake of losing it. It's trusting that the things in our life and the people in our lives are in better hands than they're in God's hands, not ours.
That's beautiful. Where are you most at home? On stage, behind a piano, leading worship at your church, or simply just being alone?
That's a really hard question, because I enjoy all of those things. There's nothing like being at Perimeter Church. For me, mm-hmm. I've been there 12 years, and when I'm here, I'm home. But like anyone that, I feel like this is kind of a silly analogy, being at Perimeter for me is kind of like being at a buffet. Like, I just love, you know, so many people, but you can't just sit around and get fat. And so I feel like every time I get to go out somewhere else and share stories of what God's teaching me, it's very much a manifestation of what God is doing in my life at Perimeter Church and the things that he's teaching me through, you know, whether it's the pastors at Perimeter or the staff team that I have the privilege of working with. All of that, I get to share that when I'm on the road. And then I meet other people and gain from them and bring that back to the team at Perimeter. So it really is a pretty neat cycle. I don't know if I necessarily have a sense of home. Home's just kind of wherever my family is. And since they come with me, mm-hmm. we're very content being at home or being gone. It's kind of a neat thing. And the Lord, for whatever reason, has kind of equipped our kids really well. And I mean, it's all they've ever known. All they've ever known is traveling. But they're really good travelers, and we just like being together as a family.
That's awesome. I just went to Disney World not too long ago, and if I learned anything, it's that Ohana means family, and family means no one gets left behind.
I love Disney World. I love Disney. Like that. Yeah, that's probably our favorite place to be as a family, is Disney World.
Yeah, I should have included that in the list. At church or behind the piano or at Disney World. We'll take Disney World.
I'm not allowed to say Disney, like that I'd rather be at Disney World than church. I'm pretty sure that's against God's word or something. But we do really love Disney World.
It's probably somewhere in Leviticus.
Exactly, yeah.
I have to ask this question because my wife has been obsessed with this lately. Have you been watching the video stream of the pregnant giraffe in New York?
No, I didn't know that there was a video stream of a pregnant giraffe.
Yeah, there's a giraffe that's going to give birth any day now. Her name is April. And like literally millions of people are watching this stream all the time. It's everywhere over social media. It's all over. It's weird.
Wow.
I mean, we were at Disney World, and my wife had her cell phone out, and she was literally watching a video of a giraffe just kind of hanging out in her pen. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, the giraffe is going to give birth, but we're at Disney World. Goodness. Why? So my question is, what's the last weird thing that you did where someone who would just look at you and be like, why in the world are you doing this? What is going on?
Man, well, I'll tell you what that just made me think of is, you know, this whole social media thing. When I was pregnant with the twins, I'm pretty sure people were checking my Facebook page to see, is it possible for her to get any bigger than she is right now? I remember people at week 20, 25, they're like, oh, you just look so beautiful, and there's this glow about you. And by week 32, 33, they're just looking at me going, wow, I just didn't know someone could get that big. Like, okay, thanks. That's really, really sweet of you to say.
Well, next time you come to New Orleans, we'll show you that you can actually get that big without carrying babies. You can you can just eat all the delicious food. So
I was about to say, sitting around eating beignets, that's why I don't live in New Orleans. Because I would not steward that opportunity well. Definitely fall into some gluttony there.
Laura, thank you so much for taking time to hang out with us. Congratulations on the release of Open Hands, your newest worship project. And
well, thank you guys for being willing to talk to me, and thanks for what you guys do and just how you are truly a beacon of hope in your community. You guys are doing more than you could possibly realize to encourage people.
Thank you again for chatting with us. We love you. We love the song. We love talking to you. So call anytime and come visit, and we'll get you some beignets.
Will do. Hey, y'all have a great day.
You too. Bye, Laura.